My dad made house calls in the Ford. He was a very well-thought-of doctor in the St. Louis of that time. A tall man with black curly hair parted in the middle and steel-rimmed spectacles gripping the bridge of his nose. He wore high celluloid collars, and I never saw him without a necktie. I thought he carried all the wisdom of the world in the black bag that traveled to house calls with him on the front seat of the Ford. With the same silent skill that he used to set a bone, he could patch a tire. Apparently, my dad had been young once, but I couldn't picture it. Even at the age of 15, I knew but little about who he was and where he'd come from, and so I knew but little about myself. My dad was what they called a self-made man. Though he'd succeeded in St. Louis, he'd come from a little town called Grand Tower on the other side of the Mississippi River, down low in Illinois. All I knew of Dad's people was that they'd lived through the Civil War. Imagine an age when there were still people around who'd seen U.S. Grant with their own eyes and men who'd voted for Lincoln. People you could reach out and touch. My dad's father, the first Dr. William Hutchings, had been a doctor in the Union Army. My grandmother and grandfather Hutchings still lived in what Dad called the home place, down in Grand Tower, that wide spot in the road. I couldn't remember visiting them before. My mother was very standoffish about my dad's side of the family. She was a St. Louis girl, and we boys were named for her side of the family. I was Howard Leland Hutchings. My little brothers, twins, were Raymond and Earl. At the age of 5, they were too young to figure much in this story, but they came along on the trip, too. Dad worked a 6.5-day week. It was a great occasion when he found an afternoon to take me to a Browns game. That was before the Browns forsook St. Louis to become the Baltimore Orioles. But now he had announced that we were going to visit his folks, motoring there and back in the Ford. It was the summer of 1916, and war was raging across Europe, the Great War. Dad said it was just a question of time before America got in it. In wartime, there'd be restrictions on travel, and so it was now or never. The next thing I remember is the morning we left, like the dawn of creation. It was a July day, breathless with St. Louis heat and the thrill of the open road unwinding before us. Our preparations had taken days. We'd been through the toolbox time and again. We'd filled as many cans of gasoline as we could strap to the running boards. Dad had personally filed down the points on the spark plugs. I hadn't slept a wink in 2 nights, and now the moment of leaving was upon us. Mother wasn't going and didn't want us to go, and I didn't know why. I remember her up on the porch and the Ford there in the middle of Maryland Avenue. Dad and I wore dusters and caps with goggles. One of the extra features of our Ford was a windshield, but it was always laid flat across the hood for city driving. The Ford was a touring car, which meant it had a canvas pull-up roof in case of rain or for when you spent a night on the road. You had to crank the car a good 10 minutes to get it going, and Dad left that part to me. The knack for starting a Ford was to jack up a rear wheel. He got the little boys settled on the rear seat, but they kept spilling out of the car, running back to the house for something they'd forgotten. I wondered if we'd ever get away. But at last the engine caught and turned over. The Ford coughed twice and came to life. Dad broke a fresh egg into the radiator so that it would hard boil and seal the leaks. The boys were more or less settled. Dad let out the brake and fiddled with the gas lever. We'd already aroused the neighborhood. Now we were off in a volley of sharp reports from the tailpipe, and Mother was turning back to the house.